Blessed be the God of our salvation,
who bears our burdens and forgives our sins.
Jesus said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these."
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight, and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
So we're going to read the psalm antiphonally. So the odd verses, those in dark print on this side, the same side of the church as myself, and the even verses on the same side as the choir. So please join in reading from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God, eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a barren and dry land where there is no water. Therefore, I have gazed upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your power and your glory. For your loving kindness is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise. So I will bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands in your name. My soul is content as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul clings to you, your right hand holds me fast.
The second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the end of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Spring is a lovely reminder that change can be beautiful. I read this on a greeting card the other day, and it stuck with me. But if I'm honest, I think one reason it has stuck with me is that I'm not sure I agree with it. Spring has its lovely moments, of course, but personally, I'm more of an autumn girl. I love inhaling crisp air, watching the leaves change color, pulling out my favorite sweaters, and indulging in both the drama and the coziness of that season. I mean, for me, spring is fine as long as it's not too muddy and my allergies don't act up and I'm not feeling overly anxious about how soon we're going to be dropped into a miserably hot slog of summer. Can you see why I loved going to school in New England for a couple of years? Nothing beats Boston in the fall. However, I digress. Spring in the Northern Hemisphere is the season of new life, and I imagine that's what the greeting card sentiment was getting at, that change doesn't have to be hard or scary, that change can look like a fluffy yellow chick or a baby bunny or a field of daffodils. I'm just a little skeptical about all that. I know that the outcome of change can be new life and something beautiful, even sacred, but in my experience, the process of change is almost always hard, not to say frightening. Which brings us to the parable of the fig tree. Jesus, as ever, shows himself to be quite the realist here. If you want change in your life, which in a previous verse Jesus refers to as repentance, then you're going to have to be willing to go through some hard and messy stuff. There's going to be someone digging around at your roots, and you're probably going to have to put up with quite a bit of manure in the process. I wonder if anyone can hear this parable and not believe that Jesus was a gardener, as well as a carpenter and preacher and everything else he was. Every gardener knows that new life emerges from a process that is messy and sometimes smelly and almost always a lot of work. So let's take it as a given that when we're looking at this parable, we should imagine ourselves as the fig tree. Most of us probably tend to imagine God as the person at the top of the social ladder in any parable, so that would make God the owner of the vineyard. But if I'm the fig tree, that means concluding that Jesus believes in a God who is always checking up on me to see how productive I am, and if he finds me lacking, not bearing fruit, he is ready to cut me down and throw me away. Ugh. Even if I decide to give Jesus the role of the gardener in the parable, interceding for us and pleading for more time, I'm still stuck with a theology that says we are nothing more than sinners in the hands of an angry God, and that we better stay on Jesus' good side, or he might not keep us safe from mean old dad. And that is terrible theology, completely missing everything else we are taught and know about a good and loving God. So let's shift everything around a little bit and imagine instead that God in this story is the gardener. And already that's closer to our professed theology, even in its most orthodox versions, because God and Jesus are one. The gardener is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit all rolled into one. The gardener planted us and gave us life. The gardener is patient when we don't bloom and grow exactly on schedule. The gardener is always willing to tend to us and work with us, always willing to believe that we can bear good fruit, and that in due time and with enough love and attention, we will. So where this interpretation starts to fall apart a little bit is that it doesn't answer the question of who the landowner is, if it's not God. Honestly, I'm not sure that there is a great answer to that, or maybe that it even matters that much. I think there's always someone who is willing to give up on us, to see the worst in us, to consider us irredeemable. Maybe it's the devil. Maybe it's that voice in our own heads that wants to shame us, to mire us in self-criticism and doubt. Maybe it's the unending drive of capitalism insisting that a person who isn't producing fruit on schedule all the time has no value. I think you get to decide that for yourself. Back to the fig tree. What the gardener proposed to do, to dig around and add fertilizer to it, strikes me as a pretty good metaphor for repentance, one of the traditional themes of Lent, or really for any positive change that requires us to undergo the rigors of transformation. Notice that if we're the fig tree and God is the gardener, then we are not the ones fixing or saving ourselves. God is doing that work. In Lent, we pray to a God who has given us eyes to see ourselves as we truly are and a heart to accept the gift of grace. It is God, not our self-improvement schemes, who gives us the gift of seeing that we're a bit of a mess, that we have lots of ways we might want to grow. In Lent, we consent to the process of change, letting God help us dig around in our souls, maybe pulling up some weeds and making room for a few more good roots to spread down and go deep. And we may also need to agree to go through some patches of manure, such as acknowledging and processing our darker emotions, our grief and rage and resistance to change, in order to find health and vitality on the other side. Perhaps it's not totally surprising that the parable of the fig tree presents a much more complex and compelling understanding of change than the pretty "Happy Spring" greeting card I saw the other day. This parable recognizes that change and growth are two sides of the same coin, that true fruitfulness is different than productivity, and that what looks like muck or filth when you're slogging through it may be a necessary part of the path to healing and transformation. As Anne Lamott wisely says, all miracles begin with a hopeless mess or bad news. Probably because until we reach that point, most of us are not willing to step out of the way and let God be God. There's one more thing I'd like us to consider about this parable. I've noticed that it's open-ended. We don't know what happens after the gardener's plea, or if the landowner gives it more time, how long does it take for the tree to bear fruit? So if we switch the lens one more time and set aside our usual individualistic mode of interpretation, something interesting happens. Maybe the fig tree isn't us as individuals, or isn't only that. Maybe the church, or our community, or our country, or even the world is the fig tree. And we are called to be gardeners. We are called to tend it collectively. We are called to look at the hopeless mess and bad news that is all around and respond with determination, patience, attention, and love. Even if it's messy and hard, growth is a miracle. New life is a miracle. Change is a miracle. Maybe it's time to get down on our knees to tend to the soil of life and get our hands dirty for the sake of the world that God so loves. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the Church and the world.
Creator Lord, you have given us eyes to see ourselves as we truly are, and the heart to accept your free gift of grace. Fill us now with the courage to step forward in faith, to repent our sins, and to turn the life we have been given to your guidance and your service. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, impel the political leaders in our world, in our nation, and in our community to rally to your call and forsake the temptations and vanity of power, and to govern with integrity, equity, and truth. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, fortify and energize all who are anointed to bring us your word and sacraments. As they shepherd us in faith, we walk together toward wholeness in you. We pray especially for our Bishop Megan, our Rector Pamela, our clergy, our staff, and all the lay leaders of this church. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, sustain the faith and dispel the despair of all who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and of all who attend to their needs. We now join our voices to pray aloud for all those in need, and especially those on our parish prayer list. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, lift us from our grief into the hope of eternal life and joy, reunited with all who now live again in glory with you. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. You may be seated for the announcements. I usually point out our yellow announcement sheet, but I will say that in addition to that, you might want to look at and even take home this sheet, the back page of your bulletin, because it's a really handy reference for everything that, well, for most of the things that we're doing during Lent, especially the emphasis being on Holy Week and Easter, which will be here before we know it. So I won't read off the things that are repeated in the yellow sheet, but either one would be a good reference. And if you aren't getting our weekly email, please be in touch with the office so that we can get that to you and be in touch. I don't see our ushers, but I think there might be a couple of new people here or people who are somewhat new, and our ushers have welcome bags. They're like little goodie bags. And so if you raise your hand, you'll get a welcome bag. We won't ask you to introduce yourself or do anything embarrassing, but we do want to be able to give you a welcome bag. So the ushers are standing in back ready to welcome you if you raise your hand. While we're doing that, I will say there are a couple of things that I wanted to point out to you. After church, after this service, every Sunday, we've been having a book study that's going well. You're welcome to join it at any point, so you can come along today to learn more about what that's about. We do need more ushers for this service as well as for the 8 o'clock service. So if you're looking for a relatively easy, sort of low barrier way to get involved, that is something that you might want to learn about doing. We have a spring tea coming up on April 3rd. That's a Thursday, and it's in the afternoon. And we're calling it, I stole this name from a different church, but we're calling the group that we're forming OWLS, which stands for Older and Wiser Laity. I would say if you are older and or wiser, you may only identify with one half of that. That's okay. You're welcome to come. We just need RSVPs so that we know how many to set up for our afternoon tea. Lots of other things in here, but those are the main ones I wanted to point out today. Margaret, did you get any celebrations or milestones sent in?
I know one.
What's that? Oh, my daughter Kathleen is turning 21 today. And it's Dawn's birthday too, right? You guys are birthday twins. I remember that. Happy birthday. And we have a lot of friends who have this birthday. Ann Seed, if you're watching, our friend Bill McInerney. We've got lots and lots of birthday twins. But somebody else had their hand up. Yes. Yes, Garrett.
He is
turning 8 today. Oh, March 23rd is a good day. You're allowed to say if you have a different birthday that we want to celebrate. Yes?
Tomorrow.
Excellent. Yay. Well, what we like to do is to say our celebrations and milestones prayer together, and that is on page 6 in your bulletin. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I just realized that what I'm going to hear about when this is over is that I said my daughter, Kathleen. Of course, this is our daughter, Kathleen. Anyway, we will move on from there. We have communion not at the stations, even though I might try to come forward and start them that way before. We're having communion at the altar rail. So if you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks when we've been doing this, the thing to know is to choose a side and then go all the way to the back of the altar rail and fill in from there. And so you can pick either side, not based on where you're sitting, but based on how you would like to receive communion. So our communion bread is homemade, gluten-free, vegan bread, and we hope everyone feels comfortable receiving that. But if you're on this side, the choir side, I will dip the bread into the wine and then hand it to you. On this side, the bread will be given to you, and then someone will come around with the chalice to help you receive the wine. So you get to decide which way you would like to go. And all are welcome here to receive communion. If you want to come forward and cross your arms, that indicates you'd just like to receive a blessing instead. And finally, if it's hard for you to get up to the altar rail for any reason, just let an usher know and we can bring communion to you. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and make good your vows to the Most High.
My soul, what does I
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. By his grace, we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. And gracious God, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Maker of all. Jesus stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Almighty God, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in Christ. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior, by Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.